Thomas will now talk to you about open source within the government area in Germany. He will try to answer any questions you may have, as long as he's allowed to. Give a warm welcome to Thomas. Thank you. This is a full house. Thanks. A lot of interest. That's great. I will introduce myself. What am I doing here? It would be cool if I had my slides. That'd be awesome. Thank you. I'm actually, for my day job, doing Kubernetes and cloud security. I have founded two companies in the past. Started off using Google Cloud and now try to find the issues we have with AWS and Azure. And the last projects I had were in security critical infrastructure, because they also discovered the topic Kubernetes. I've been doing open source for a very long time. I was using Linux since before version 1, and I'm more or less doing cloud native for the German government area. I have been to the German parliament. That was in 2001. Some representatives in Nuremberg read something about SUSE, and they were thinking about using Linux on the client. Not the SUSE one that we had in Germany, but rather IBM. And there was a half-hearted wish to use open source by the politicians. Then in 2019, there was a PwC strategy paper, and they realized that the whole administration and government is dependent on Microsoft, surprise. And then there's another one by Deloitte, that the databases are dependent on Oracle and Microsoft, so not very surprising. I was invited. The last government that we had already was talking about digital sovereignty, and I started a website called OpenCodey, a place for open source. I also was contributing to the cloud strategy. They have a framework for their architecture that was actually published a year after I started there by the IT Strategy Commission. And in 2020, I was also asked to bolstering their security for the Kubernetes architecture, and there I was writing a review. I did an architecture review. So we have some kind of infrastructure. OpenCodey is more like a GitLab, and it requires OSI licenses. We were discussing licenses, and the only thing we could agree on was OSI, because we can just take what is created, the framework that was created by Linux in that case. And you can find the Federal Messenger there, other important projects. I will talk about that later a little bit, what other projects there are. There's also something called the Sovereign Tech Fund. It's very interesting for infrastructure type projects that the government does. And there's the Prototype Fund, that's its little sister. It's trying to get the projects going, and then you get moved to the Sovereign Tech Fund. It has a budget of about 10 million euros, and that's a nice target to have. So if you have a bigger issue that no one is touching, then you can start trying to get that going. And then there's also the CENDIS that was started in parallel. It's the Center for Digital Sovereignty. They're searching for people like crazy. It's in Bochum, the west of Germany. in the Rhine area. It will likely be an open source program, mostly for the governments, and they will create open source strategies. If you're interested in that kind of thing, then search on their pages. And there's also another one of these open source centers by the Gematik, the ones running the toll for the highways. So let's look at Open Code a little closer. The problem is it's not GitHub. Sorry, there was a question there. Sorry, we can't hear the question.
The question was, the federal states are also getting to open code platforms. So the open code program offices should explain how to use open code. They will not be able to use all strategies from open code. So if there's one administration that needs, if there's one administration that actually, sorry. Okay, so in open code we had the question, why don't we use GitHub? For GitHub there is exactly the same thing that accounts for the dark side. So we had the same problem with GitHub that we had with the dark side. We cannot make GitHub, let's say, data privacy conform, GDPR conform, as we don't know what happens to the code. We don't know if this stays confidential. We don't know. So we know that Microsoft Teams actually tracks users, so therefore we don't know what actually happens in GitHub with our data. And because of jurisdiction issues, we had to go to open code and not use GitLab. Yeah. So we need a license compliance. It's very rather complicated. So we had a calendar before Christmas. We had some other project for inner cities, and we had the we had the messenger within the federal government.
The name is obviously a little funny. It's no one would get away with that if they use that outside of the government, but it is what it is. There is also the Robert Koch Institute. This is the one of the highest medical institutes in Germany. They were sequencing COVID. And there's also a project that it's basically like ESTA. It's called Verb. You can answer questions ahead of time regarding your immigration status, and that makes immigration quicker if you want to do that. And during the preparation for this talk, I realized that there are first steps towards they create laws in GitHub. Basically, that's the Americans have a system where they do that in GitHub, and the idea is that you can track changes to the documents. Every commit is basically a change, and some people suggest doing this here, and actually someone started doing that, and this would be lovely to have here to see what were the discussions, who entered which part of the law, and things like that. This could be a starting point, but it's not going to happen today or tomorrow, obviously. It will take a bit of time, because which politician really knows what a what a Git is. So they hardly are able to do it in Word, and it's not going to be any easier to teach them how to do it in Git, obviously. But we will try. Would the legal department not be split off from the legislative? Separation of power is a great idea. You could think about that. The judicial system should probably have their own instance. But to be honest, I'm happy that they started all. So we will probably discuss a lot what the target architecture should be and what it's going to look like in the end. But I'm happy that they do anything. Okay. So why open code? For me, it wasn't as clear regarding the that you have legal security here. What I actually want is the DevOps capability that you can have DevOps done right in the end, if we can. So this GitLab, this open code DE can start build processes. So locally in my public company, I can make a change in open code and then will generate a build process. This is a great advantage of open source. Obviously, you can't do changes on closed source. And you run a pipeline in the simplified version. It looks like this. So technically, it could run all the way from making a change to deployment. But regulations forbid us to deploy to production immediately, obviously. There needs to be security audits and all these kind of things. But for simple stuff, it would be possible. For example, the calendar, the awareness calendar would be a candidate where you could argue, why does someone need to approve of the change? You could probably do that simpler. But what I wanna... If the awareness calendar is critical infrastructure, then we have a different issue. I'm not gonna go into that. I have some window open somewhere. And have another question to the pipeline. There is a legislative change happening that is about use or buy. When the government is trying to buy software, they try to force all of the software that they buy to also be open source and use their power in the market to bring about change with having more open source. The Com1, this is one of those public companies, is only, yeah, they're not, they're basically an IT company from the government that can provide these capabilities that we need. They're not the ones buying it. And I know the arguments against this whole CI/CD approach. Usually people are hesitant to make the changes because they think it's too difficult, it takes too long, they don't know how to do it. And my stance is it just takes a little bit of time. It takes a couple of years or 5 years even for them to come around and to understand that it's actually better than what they had before. So I would have said 2 years, but I'm hoping that if they think about 2 years, then it's going to be five. So this is the strategic thinking that you have to have here in the governance sector. The question is, should this be done within one legislative period? So within 4 years, And it actually survived one government change, and the hope is that it will survive another one. But we will see in the future. I will argue what is dependent on this.
In this discussion, we also thought about how to make meta information available, and we actually found the solution in Italy. So we have these Docs Italia, they have a public code infrastructure, and this public code YAML actually describes why something is there, how it works, which license there is, which variants there are. And they have a national software catalog in Italy, and they basically invited us to take this and make even possible to use it for the federal states of Germany. We don't know if that actually makes sense. And we took this and we thought, okay, this we can use immediately. We actually want to go towards GitOps. So the operations should be automated so that we can take like all states from a Git repository. And we say the configuration is code, and the configuration of servers will be used exactly, and it will also be governed as code. So the server changes will be coming from the Git repository. This has the implication that we cannot save everything in a Git repository. Yeah. Where do we actually want to go? We want to go towards DevSecOps. We don't want to go the naive way of DevOps, but we also want to implant the security into this. So the best thing that we have, what we saw comes from the US, it comes from the CSCF. This is part of the Linux Foundation, and this is inside of the open source context in the US. And they work with the defense ministry in the US. We don't like that very much, that it's with the defense ministry of the US, but their process is nice. So they put everywhere where it's necessary security checks in this process. Okay, they have 14 checks in their pipeline, and they can automate 11 of them. With this, you have the possibility to have this entire pipeline very secure. This is BSE conform, but you only need to adapt it to the IT basics and towards the guidelines of the BSE. GDPR compliance. Sorry, we didn't hear the question. Make it GDPR compliant will be an issue. I'm actually discussing this with the BSI right now. BSE basics is right now, baseline security of the BSI are right now BSE guideline compliance is something that is right now already complicated for the ministries. So all of this that you see here can be triggered on open code, and we can put automated security scans, we can do static code analysis, we can put containers there, we can deliver that into production with login, with monitoring, and with adapting. But it's for sure that we will never have all these automated processes within critic infrastructure, but we will have a totally different speed if we manage to automate as much as possible in this cycle. What the government wants, actually, we want a DevOps software factory. We want to give the people in the administration as much possibilities as possible. So we have some people that are working only in cloud, some of them are only working in agile, and we have to do these CI/CD pipelines, have to think together with the SecOps, which is like the critical part. And in commercial, like usually in companies, it already takes 2 years to have this implemented, and this is in and this can take up to 5 years, and I actually experienced that in the first project. This was before the Kubernetes. This was before Git. With Git now, it is easier. And this is the big task that we don't have to underestimate rolling out. If I want to do DevOps, then I want to do SecDevOps, then I need to do the audits. Sorry, we didn't hear the question.
For me, the question is, how can we make the whole process more agile? So all these approval processes for privacy, for security, for the BSI conformity. This is probably difficult with the, this is where what I put under regulation. If you want to try and introduce this approach, this is what's going to cost you months and months of your life. So what is the strategy that we reached? The cloud native strategy, I already used that buzzword. It comes from the Borg project from Google. It was an internal thing that they used. They couldn't publish it because it's very tied into their own toolkit, so they had to redo parts of it and to put it to donate it, to give it to the Linux Foundation. And what happens is they created an ecosystem. This is the landscape of the Cloud Native Computing Fall Coalition. That's, when I did it, it was about 1,200 of these tiles here, and it's increasing daily, or at least it feels like it. And obviously, they care about market capitalization, so there are billions of dollars in startups in here. But the point is, there's an ecosystem of things that you mostly can use with an Apache license, and they're more or less compatible with the idea of doing GitOps. And the configuration is always coming from repositories, so you can, for example, see the networks here. You can create a definition of a network as it should be stood up. But then you have to fight the networkers because they don't want to share their little things with the others, so there's a lot of convincing you have to do with them. Every team that you have to convince. And they don't want to have their custom configs for Juniper, Cisco, and so on taken away. And that's the same for all of the teams, so you have to take a little bit of care. You now have automation here, but there are tendencies in this ecosystem to try to reach towards the edge, so edge computing. You could make your computer an edge device of the cloud and administrate that from the cloud. I would say take care. We used to have these shirts that said cloud is just other people's computers. So turning it around, your computer is just an edge device of my cloud, which shows the totalitarian approach that is possible and probably likely here. But you can try and oppose this. Like, you have a network that you control, and you can basically say, okay, there's not going to be any computer in here that I don't control. So one of the worst cases that you can think of is you have an implanted device into your body, and that will be administrated by the cloud, and I don't think that should be our aim. But let's look further. Do we actually have the competency to do these kind of things in Germany? So cloud is usually, people think, associate these common hyperscalers, AWS cloud, Google and so on. But there is, for example, a project by a university in Osnabrück that has their own cloud within a shipping container. They put in a whole cloud. All you have to do is connect the container with power and internet, and then the whole stack runs up, and then you have a cloud, and it's completely automatable. GovDigital is already looking towards that kind of thing. A lot of these companies that are public are thinking about that kind of thing, and there's obviously a lot more complexity. Open source and legal. On Saturday, I'm also talking about the energy consumption of data centers, so that's why I chose this picture. You can technically have smaller data centers being run completely via solar. And the cooling that you have to do, like the heat transfer from outside, from the computer, you can put it into long distance heating for homes, and it's run completely by open source. But when you start that kind of thing, then you have to think about OT security. Then, like, just physical attacks against that container kind of thing. And this is the way you can envision this kind of pipeline. On the top you have the DevOps steps, and on the bottom you have the steps when you have to do it securely, so the DevSecOps part. And now you can start cheating again and look at what Google's doing and the kind of NFAs that they have, the non-functional requirements, and in that they use to grade their deployment parameter, so deployment frequency and lead times for changes, change failure rate. Those are basically the only parameters that they have. Those are the ones that they measure, because not much else is there to be measured. And we're starting to think about putting that into our own standards. The problem is that the German regulatory body for IT security, the BSI, doesn't really have a cloud security, a cloud strategy, or the security aspect of it. So the first things that they standardized were complete nonsense. And you can already see that a lot of things are lacking. They have no idea of what security of pipelines are. They don't have signatures strategies. They don't. So, for example, deploying containers can only happen when they are the signature that is it being signed with is verified, so that you know that it comes from a trusted source. All of these things, it all has security implications, and you need to solve this and you need to regulate it. But what we're aiming for is that we want to be able to fix an issue increasing tests within a day, and that we can deploy it within 20 minutes anywhere. That's basically what I took with me from the ImmoScout times. Basically, that's the time it takes to start it, to go grab a copy, to grab a coffee from the machine in the office, and then go over to another desk and see if it worked out okay or not. So what else do we have in the cloud? That's mostly modern stuff here. So in the German government IT strategy, there was a little back and forth about what to put in there. What we needed to add is digital sovereignty. That's stuff the legal people, the lawyers love. That doesn't just mean that the data center is in Germany, but it also means that the keys and the crypto algorithms can be exchanged at will by the customer. So I can't rely on other people's on by providers. So for example, if Siemens gives you a crypto module, they have their own algorithms and they have their own keys, and that's basically where it stops working for the government, because they want to be able to change them within the product, and that's not possible. So in the German government cloud security strategy, the idea is that they have every aspect of it under control, but obviously that's not something you can buy out of the box. You have to, it has to be implemented in custom for them. There was a lot of discussion around this. They discussed this for 18 months, and it took a long time for everybody to read it. And then suddenly the three hyperscalers and the Bitkom basically said that you're trying to forbid usage of public clouds, but and we're saying no, it's not. That's just wrong. You can still do that. You just need to implement this aspect. So we made a box full of DevOps. There's a lot of YAML. If you don't like spaces, then you probably edited too much YAML. We went through all this. This evolution, ops, DevOps, DevSecOps, yeah, you know the jokes. Adding to that.
We have started the Sovereign Tech Fund, which supports the open source ecosystem in the public interest. There's Adriana Gruhe, Fiona Krakenberger, and we told them, and we give them money for like the open source infrastructure. We made interviews, and everybody referred to this picture. We have infrastructure that is used in many different spaces, and they all say, yeah, we have. We are very well funded. But when you go into depth and when you ask for how do you deal with the last audits, they all say, yeah, we didn't have time for that, we didn't have resources. And this is when you have when you go into depth. This means that you're actually not well funded, because you cannot make the security security work. And to make code secure, you need more resources. The Sovereign Tech Fund has funded these following projects. So we have the OpenMLS. They inherited this from the Prototype Fund. They also have this project, which is about improving the infrastructure and security of JavaScript. And when you ask professors for IT security, they don't touch JavaScript, which is understandable, but this doesn't this really doesn't solve it. So we don't know. I didn't know that Fortran has a package manager, but apparently this needs to be maintained. And yeah. So there another thing that was founded was Decendis. We right now have founded this. It's a center for digital sovereignty for the public administration. There is right now one person working there. So the one person that works there actually could give talks only within the public administration, and right now he also gave a talk at the FrostCon. If you're interested in that, have a look at this, and we hope this will all be successful. I am actually a little biased. I'm working for the Phoenix project for Dataport. There are not many things that will stay in place. We are actually thinking it will be GDPR conform. It can be deployed on your laptop. The aim is the deployment pipeline to have this completely on open code. And what we are right now dealing with is that we have to make every product, every service interchangeable. So we don't have only Jitsi, but we need BigBlueButton to replace it. And if one administration says, okay, we want another product, then we need to make it interchangeable. We don't have the year of the Linux desktop anymore. We have the year of the desktop in browser. The first people already say that they have already been installing stuff. This is the this is like the surrounding. So we have many containers. It is certified by the security security entity in Germany. We actually aim to make small providers to make all of their components open source, and they sometimes don't want this. So we said, okay, we have to do this. So the German Defense Ministry, or the German Defense, actually, they.
I didn't know that this IT subsidiary of the German Army actually still exists. I thought they were bankrupt after a certain project. And you can still find a few articles on a German newspaper for IT called Heise. You can still find them. So this is a very small picture that's hard to read. The blue part, we can read it. That's the messaging layer security. That's the Sovereign Tech Fund, the Prototype Fund, the BWI, the IT provider of the Army. And they're being implemented by...
And this strategy is coming from the IT Planning Commission that involves the federal level and all of the states. So this is a very sluggishly moving commission. And they wrote that paper that says to prioritize open source. And the good thing about this is, since so many parties are involved, all of the states and the government from the
on the federal level, then it's very hard to reverse. So this is kind of checkmate for open source, but I hope we're not playing chess with doves. So if you know, this is us trying to get a government administration strategy going. So this was on the Republica. This is already something that failed in the past. So it's they basically had a law that made a few regulations regardless, and it didn't work. And then they cut money short, so they cut the funding, and we were saying that we already have a working system that has a desktop in the browser. It's called VNC Lagoon. So I'm not going to talk about that, but there are already four working solutions with different, obviously, aspects that would allow to have their own clouds. And there's very little reason to run your own, save for political not invented here syndrome. There are also things that you have to watch out for. For example, this is being done for the health department by Bianca. She already did a talk on the FOSCON. She showed that you can sign containers pretty easily in the latest version together with Lucas. So this is software that has been rolled out in 100 of these workplaces in the health department. And we can't really imagine doing this any different than with open source, because it just wouldn't have been possible. I'm here for a few more days, so you can ask me there, or you can come to my conference in Berlin, that's in September, if you're interested in these kind of topics. Thank you for this talk. We probably have time for one question. It's short but loaded. We're heading towards the Cyber Resilience Act with some implications implying that open source software would have trouble on every layer. For example, where you need audit by other organizations. We're probably gonna hear from the Linux Foundation Europe. That's a European problem. In the end, it depends on the definition of the word commercial. It's the legal people want to make any kind of activity commercial. Like, for example, me here, I'm being declared as a commercial because I'm getting money for my work, but I'm also doing advertisement here. But I think part of it is just misconception, but also it's an attack on open source. So I don't know what the fights behind the scenes are. Sometimes very strange things happen and very lopsided kind of fights. So there's one more question from the internet. TS wants to know, what is the role of the federal cloud, especially regarding the desktop and the hypercloud, because they want to host it themselves? That's probably the ITDZ Bund. They then need to have their own people doing it and their own competencies. And it's not that simple to stand up your own Kubernetes cluster. That's a whole data center. It does have the complexity of you have their own data center, they have their own Kubernetes cloud to administrate, and it's not trivial. Operations is a lot of work. And the last question from the audience. Do you have the impression that things are being coordinated here? Because it sounded like there were a lot of initiatives and all of these regulations. Do they tie in with each other? People are starting to notice that, and yeah, there will probably be a lot of trivialities, but also important stuff. I would assume that there will be regulations, like, for example, that the projects cannot be orphaned. You always need to have someone who's responsible. They need to be tied with some kind of organization. I'm being optimistic. Sometimes I'm also thinking, does it have to be on OpenCode? I don't know. Does it work? Was that initiated by the administration or by someone related to them? And at some point, you will probably have a YAML file, public code. What's it good for? And then hopefully you can search for it. So thank you for the talk. And more questions outside, and another applause. Thank you. That's us signing off.